live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, January 14th, 2021. Coming up this hour.
An historic vote in the House as President Trump is impeached for a second time.
Meantime, the president calls for calm and no violence as the country braces for protests.
As he prepares to take office, Joe Biden lays out plans for a new COVID relief package.
And new data brings promising news for the country's immunization effort.
Andrew Yang officially announces his candidacy for mayor of New York. Plus, Twitter CEO defends his company's ban of President Donald Trump. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Nets acquired James Harden and then beat the Knicks. The Rangers tonight host the Islanders in the season opener.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by SEI. Visionary asset managers find opportunity where others are challenged. Exploit disruption's potential with SEI's global operating platform. Find out how at seic.com/IMS.
And S&P futures are higher this morning. It's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8 points, Dow futures up 109, NASDAQ futures lower, down 21. The DAX in Germany is up about 0.6 of a percent. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 1.10%, yield on the 2-year 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is little change, down 2 cents at $52.88 a barrel. Nathan.
Karen, we begin with the historic vote on Capitol Hill, making Donald Trump the only president to be impeached twice. The president's charged with incitement of insurrection. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says he must be held accountable.
The House demonstrated that no one is above the law, not even the president of the United States.
The House impeached by a vote of 232 to 197. 10 Republicans joined Democrats in the vote, but other GOP members say the move will hurt, not help the nation heal. Here's House Minority Whip Steve Scalise.
We need to be focused on toning down the rhetoric and helping heal this nation as we move towards a peaceful transition of power to President-elect Joe Biden next week.
And now Nancy Pelosi has to decide how quickly to send the impeachment article to the Senate for a trial.
And when that happens, the fate of the president will rest with Republican leader Mitch McConnell. We get more on the next steps from Bloomberg's Karen Chase.
McConnell now holds more leverage than ever over President Trump. The Senate majority leader told Republican colleagues he'll block the start of an impeachment trial before President-elect Biden takes office on Wednesday. But he hasn't ruled out voting to convict this time. He also says he hasn't made up his mind yet. Karen Chase, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Karen, thanks. As the clock ticks down on Donald Trump's presidency, the question now is whether partisan politics can take a back seat under Joe Biden. Pennsylvania's Democratic Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman says it's a good time for both sides to reach across the aisle.
You know, reaching out to the other side and making sure that members of the Republican Party are firmly in lockstep with this idea that violence is unacceptable. Any kind of insurrection, any kind of anything. This idea that Joe Biden may not be your president, but he will be the president.
Fetterman spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. You can catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio.
President Trump is now among those calling for calm in the nation's capital. He released a video condemning last week's riot on Capitol Hill and asking Americans to avoid further violence.
Today I am calling on all Americans to overcome the passions of the moment and join together as one American people.
The president's message made no mention of impeachment and comes as law enforcement around the country prepare for protests ahead of the inauguration.
You know, just 6 days till he takes office, Joe Biden is making plans to help the battered economy. The president-elect unveils plans for a new stimulus package tonight. CNN is reporting the cost of the measure is likely to come in around $2 trillion. Biden delivers a formal announcement of the plan at 7 p.m., which we will bring you live on Bloomberg Radio.
Treasury yields rising on that report, though the broader market response has been somewhat muted. And Richard Jones is an FX and rates strategist for Bloomberg News.
I think they've been expecting this for quite some time, so it could be argued that a substantial fiscal stimulus package has already been priced. I mean, the size of this package is slightly higher than the $1.3 trillion that have been floating around before. And I think that's what markets are reacting to. But all in all, I think it's not a huge surprise for investors that we're getting this.
And U.S. futures rose on the news of the stimulus package, but are now off their session highs. S&P futures are currently up 7 points.
And when it comes to the pandemic, we're coming off another day of deaths near 4,000. L.A. County remains the epicenter of this latest wave, where 1 in 3 people has been infected. And now Public Health Director Barbara Ferrer warns the new strain of the virus is spreading.
This is our time to try to get the surge under control before the variant is widespread. And in order to get our hospitals back to a reasonable level of care and operations.
Daily U.S. infections continue to run above 200,000, but the strain on hospitals appears to be easing. The COVID tracking project says hospitalizations are beginning to drop in the Northeast and Midwest.
Meantime, we're seeing early data show promising results for the vaccine from Johnson & Johnson. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John.
And Karen, Johnson & Johnson's experimental shot generated a long-lasting immune response in an early study. The progress is being closely watched by top infectious disease experts because its vaccine could protect people after just one shot, making mass vaccination campaigns a lot easier. More than 90% of participants created antibodies within 29 days of receiving the shot. All the participants formed the antibodies within 57 days. When it comes to the vaccines already approved, the U.S. has so far administered more than 10.8 million doses. You can get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker online at Bloomberg.com. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, John. Turning to Wall Street now, some big banks are up in arms over a last-minute move from an appointee of President Trump. The Office of the Comptroller of the Currency plans to pass a rule today forcing banks to lend to gun manufacturers, oil drillers, and other controversial industries. The agency's acting head, Brian Brooks, plans to step down after issuing the regulation.
At the same time, the White House is pulling back on plans to ban investment in Chinese companies like Alibaba and Tencent. Bloomberg News has learned the Treasury Department is blocking the Pentagon from halting investment in the firms. Shares of both companies rose on the news. And again, S&P futures up 7.5 points this morning. And straight ahead, we have a look at your local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Time to bring in Michael Barr for a look at what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A former White House candidate has his eye on Gracie Mansion. Andrew Yang is looking to be the next mayor of New York City. Yang filed the official paperwork yesterday at the city's campaign finance board saying he's formed a mayoral campaign committee. The former Democratic presidential candidate outlined his plan in a campaign ad.
We need to realize Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of a guaranteed minimum income and get cash into the hands of people who need it most.
Hang in there. Help's on the way.
Yang also says he wants to bring New York City into the 21st century by giving everyone high-speed internet so our kids can learn. Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey defended his company's ban of President Trump as the right decision, his first public comment on the subject. In a Twitter thread, he warned that such actions could set a dangerous precedent. Banning an account, he said, revealed Twitter's failure to avoid such situations in the first place. Mayor Bill de Blasio says President Trump will no longer have skating rinks or a golf course in New York City. The city is ending all contracts with the Trump Organization after last week's deadly riot at the Capitol following a rallying speech by the president. De Blasio says the city wants nothing to do with the Trump name.
This president has committed an unlawful act. He has disgraced himself. He will no longer profit from his relationship with New York City. We will not allow it.
De Blasio says the Trump Organization profits about $17 million a year from those sites. Mayor De Blasio also says the New York Mets Stadium is being prepped to become a 24/7 COVID vaccine clinic, and now it's a Subway Series with Yankee Stadium planning to join the roster.
We've heard back from the New York Yankees. And we welcome them into the fold, too. We're working with them now to work out a plan to use Yankee Stadium as well. And that's going to be great.
Another top Immigration and Customs Enforcement director has resigned. Jonathan Fahey only lasted 2 weeks on the job before quitting. It is the third time in less than a year the acting ICE director has resigned. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stanshire.
Good morning, Nathan. The folks in Vegas. Vegas have moved the Nets ahead of Milwaukee. Brooklyn is now the betting favorite to win the NBA's Eastern Conference. They already had Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. Now they've added James Harden. All he's done is be the NBA's leading scorer each of the last three seasons. Harden had gone public with his displeasure in Houston, so they sent him to the Nets for a boatload of draft picks, three future first-rounders, the chance to swap picks in four other years. Trade involved two other teams. The Nets dealt Caris LeVert to Indiana, Jared Allen and Torian Prince to Cleveland. Adrian Wojnarowski covers the NBA for ESPN.
This is a massive deal all around. Listen, for the Brooklyn Nets to go out and get James Harden, you know, this was something that Kevin Durant very much wanted. He and Harden started talking about this months ago.
Apparently what Kevin Durant wants, he gets. Now we'll see about three stars who are all used to taking a lot of shots being able to share the ball. Only Durant played last night. Irving missed his fifth straight game due to personal reasons. The Nets took the lead with a big second quarter. They beat the Knicks at the Garden, 116-109. Durant scored 28. Julius Randle had 30 for the Knicks, who've now lost four in a row. There's hockey at the Garden tonight. That hasn't happened since last March. Rangers and Islanders in the season opener. The Devils host the Bruins. Tampa Bay just won the Stanley Cup and won its game last night. College hoops, Fordham lost to St. Bonaventure. San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh has reportedly emerged as the favorite to become the new head coach of the Jets. He's interviewed with them twice. Former Houston Texans coach Bill O'Brien will now coach the offense at Alabama. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Thank you.
And John, it's a record for New Jersey. The state took in nearly $1 billion worth of sports bets in December. More than $6 billion worth of bets were placed last year in New Jersey, which won a Supreme Court case in 2018, clearing the way for the ongoing expansion of legalized sports betting throughout the United States. Right now, S&P futures are higher by 7 points. Dow futures leading the way with the gains this morning. They're up 113 points. NASDAQ futures still lower, down 22 points. 10-year treasuries down 7/32. The yield 1.11%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Treasury yields are rising with stocks after a report suggested President-elect Joe Biden plans COVID-19 relief of about $2 trillion. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8 points, Dow futures up 114, NASDAQ futures down 23. The DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.10%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is little changed, down a cent to $53.89 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.8%, or $14.60 at $18.40.30 an ounce. The euro 1.2162 against the dollar. British pound 1.3657. The yen 104. Today we are watching for the weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time, along with the import price index. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is out at 9:45, and we get earnings today from Delta and BlackRock. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Donald Trump has been impeached by the U.S. House over the violent siege of the Capitol. He is the only president to be twice impeached. He faced a single charge, incitement of insurrection, in yesterday's vote after he encouraged a mob of loyalists to, as he put it, fight like hell against election results. Security was exceptionally tight at the Capitol for the impeachment vote, beefed up by armed National Guard troops. A handful of Republicans supported impeachment along with the Democrats. In the NBA, the Nets down the Knicks 116-109. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined now by Andy Blocher, head of U.S. Government Affairs from Invesco, on this morning after the historic second impeachment vote against President Trump, coming just a week before President-elect Joe Biden gets set to take office. Good morning, Andy. Does this event just now overshadow everything else that's happening or could happen in Washington?
Well, good morning, Nathan. Good to be back with you. You're absolutely right. I think impeachment is not only going to dominate the headlines for the last days of the Trump presidency, but it could potentially dominate the headlines for the beginning of the Biden presidency. And part of the reason for that, Nathan, is the fact that we just had a Capitol breach. And while we can talk about the politics of the situation, this is also very personal. And in my conversations with members of Congress, whether Republican or Democrat, they felt under threat and physically under threat, and not just physically under threat, but the Article 1 of the Constitution, the Congress was under threat. And so there was, whether they voted for it or against it, there's still a feeling of, hey, we need to do something. And for the Republicans, obviously politically, that was untenable. But it is going to be the conversation, and the question is going to, I think, come down to what the Senate Democrats and Biden decide they want to do.
Yeah, and that plays into the question, doesn't it, of how Republicans in particular voted on the impeachment on the House side and could potentially vote on conviction on the Senate side. It seems as though they're sort of weighing the balance of do they pass a vote that could potentially put them in danger from President Trump supporters, as many Democrats have alluded to, while at the same time potentially showing further support for the president.
Yes, Nathan, that's the key issue right now. Now, I think it is historic that for the first time, members from their own party voted to impeach their own president. So when 10 Republicans in the House might not seem like a big number, it's a big deal. And I think that opens the door for McConnell. You've seen reports about him considering voting for conviction. And if I were thinking about that, the way I think about it is that McConnell, if he votes for conviction, he will bring a lot of people with him. But he's not going to make that determination until he knows, A, there's enough evidence out there to show the complicity beyond what we may have seen in the reports that Trump was involved, and then, two, that he's going to have enough to go with him.
Of course, President-elect Biden wants to move past this in some ways, try to heal the country on one hand and put forward an economic agenda on the other hand. We're going to hear from the president-elect later tonight laying out his plan to combat the coronavirus slump. What do you see passing in a bipartisan fashion, and how could a Senate trial potentially derail that effort, slow it down?
Yeah, that's the big question, Nathan. I think that right now they're weighing that. I think what Biden's saying right now is that they can walk and chew gum at the same time. I think the most important thing for him is to get his people in place in the government, get his nominations through, and also work on this COVID-19 relief package that you just said. So with the COVID-19 relief package, that's the headline. That's the issue. That's what the markets are reacting to. And that's really only possible at a larger scale because Democrats won the Senate. And so with that, you can say between $1 trillion and $2 trillion, whether or not it's going to have state and local relief for individuals, they're going to have to debate that out.
What should markets expect in terms of how difficult this is going to be to pass, given all that's going on with impeachment?
So I think even with impeachment, I think that as a new president, he's going to have a lot of political capital. And I really actually think he's going to try to use that political capital. And the reason I think that is the case is because Biden was part of the Obama-Biden administration when they came into office in 2009. Similar situation. The economy was under stress. And they did, I think it was like an $800 billion relief package, recovery package, and yet it wasn't enough. And you saw the slow recovery that they had. They remember that. And all those people who worked in the administration saying, hey, we have our shot at the beginning. Let's make this as big as possible. And that's why you hear these numbers upward of $2 trillion. Now, whether they get $2 trillion or not is the open question, but they're going to get something.
Only about 30 seconds left here, Andy. Do you expect any further turbulence between now and Inauguration Day?
Well, I was in D.C. Yesterday. I actually went down there, and it felt like a militarized zone. And so as far as actual violence that's threatening the inauguration, that's not happening. I mean, the D.C. is on lockdown. So there may be people who show up, but anyone who shows up, they're really looking to get arrested. So I don't really think that anything's going to interrupt what goes on. I think the fact that they're the 50 state capitals and potential violence across the country, there could be disturbances, but it's not going to interrupt the working of our democracy.
Well, let's hope that holds true. Andy Blocker, head of U.S. Government Affairs at Invesco, thank you again for being with us early this morning. Ahead of the market open, S&P futures are up 6 points, Dow futures up 105, NASDAQ futures lower by 24 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're coming off a historic vote in the House as President Trump is impeached for a second time.
The ayes are 232. The nays are 197. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid upon the table.
The House charged the president with incitement of insurrection. Now House Speaker Nancy Pelosi must decide how quickly to send the charge to the Senate for trial.
And when that happens, the fate of the president will rest with the leader of the Senate. We get more on the next steps from Bloomberg's Karen Chase.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell isn't ruling out voting to convict the now twice impeached President Trump, this time saying he hasn't made up his mind yet. But he also says the trial won't begin until around the time of President-elect Biden's inauguration. Meanwhile, the Biden transition team is exploring a possible bipartisan pact to split the Senate's time between regular duties like confirming cabinet nominees and the trial. Karen Chase, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Karen, thank you. President Trump, meantime, is urging calm in the wake of last week's violence. He released a video calling for Americans to join together.
There is never a justification for violence. No excuses, no exceptions. America is a nation of laws.
The president's message made no mention of impeachment and comes as law enforcement around the country prepares for protests leading up to Inauguration Day.
With just 6 days until he takes office, Joe Biden is making plans to help the battered economy. The president-elect unveils plans for a new stimulus package tonight. CNN is reporting the cost of the measure is likely to come in around $2 trillion. Biden delivers the formal announcement of the plan at 7 p.m., which we will bring you live on Bloomberg Radio.
Meanwhile, we're seeing early data show promising results for a vaccine from Johnson & Johnson. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John.
And Karen, Johnson & Johnson's experimental shot generated a long-lasting immune response in an early study. The one-shot vaccine generated more antibodies than a single dose of other frontrunners, all of which are two-shot regimens. The J&J shot could potentially make mass vaccination campaigns a lot easier. The company expects results from a final stage study early next month, and that could lead to regulatory authorization by March. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures up 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 105 and NASDAQ futures down 42. The 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 1.11%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. And straight ahead, we have the latest local headlines plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thank you, Karen. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr for a check of what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. A former presidential candidate is looking to be the next mayor of New York. Andrew Yang filed the official paperwork at the city's campaign finance board saying he's formed a mayoral campaign committee. The former Democratic presidential candidate outlined his ambitious plan in a campaign ad yesterday.
I'm running for mayor for my two boys, for you, and for every New Yorker.
We're trying to work for you.
Thank you. Let's fight for a future New York City that we can all be proud of.
Has the second impeachment damaged President Trump's future with the Republican Party? Former Republican Governor of New Jersey Chris Christie tells ABC's Nightline the president's reaction to the election has caused a significant unraveling.
The president has shown a complete disregard for the truth about a fundamental part of our American system, and that is the voting system to elect our president. I think that's damaged him, and I think it's damaged him significantly.
Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey defended his company's ban of President Donald Trump as the right decision. In his first public comment on the subject, Dorsey warned that such actions could set a dangerous precedent. Dorsey also says banning an account revealed Twitter's failure to avoid such situations in the first place. The black man who was shot 7 times by Kenosha, Wisconsin police last summer is talking about the incident to the public. Jacob Blake, speaking exclusively to ABC's Good Morning America, recalls going limp when he was shot.
I kind of went limp, and all I remember at that point was kind of leaning back, looking at my boys. I said, "Daddy, love you, no matter what." I thought it was going to be the last. I thought it was going to be the last thing I say to them. Thank God it wasn't.
Prosecutors say no law enforcement officers will be charged in the shooting. The FAA is stepping up enforcement of those who fight masks rules on board. The agency is taking a zero-tolerance policy and will pursue legal action against any passenger who assaults, threatens, intimidates, or interferes with a crew member and their orders. That can mean jail time and fines in the tens of thousands of dollars. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, the Nets have done this before. Mortgage the future, gone for a championship in 2013. Having just moved to Brooklyn, they sent 3 first-round draft picks to Boston for Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett. They were well past their prime. The trade turned out to be a disaster. James Harden has averaged over 30 points a game each of the last 3 seasons, won the 2018 MVP, and he comes to the Nets from Houston, where Harden had demanded a trade. Does not come cheaply. Nets had to send away a couple of good players. Caris LeVert goes to Indiana, Jared Allen to Cleveland, and they gave the Rockets 3 first-round draft picks and the chance to swap picks in 4 other years, but it gives the Nets a monster big three. Harden with Kevin Durant. They were teammates for 3 years in Oklahoma City. They are maybe the 2 best scorers in the league, and they still have Kyrie Irving. If he ever chooses to rejoin the Nets, he's missed the last 5 games due to personal reasons. At the Garden last night, Nets beat the Knicks 116-109. Durant scored 26. Coach Steve Nash cannot talk about the trade. It's not yet official, but he liked the win.
Interesting day today, and a back-to-back, like you said, and the 5th and 7 nights. So, you know, they came out and were professional, did a great job defensively, moved the ball offensively, made simple plays, didn't turn it over, you know, battled on the boards. So, you know, overall, really proud of the way they played under, what was it, a long week.
The Knicks, meanwhile, looking like the same old Knicks. They've lost 4 in a row. Rangers and Islanders at the Garden tonight to start a shortened NHL regular season where all games will be played within the division. The Devils tonight host the Bruins. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street and time for the Tri-State Business Report. Here's Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Manhattan apartment leases almost doubled last month. It's a sign that sliding rents and landlord freebies are drawing tenants to New York's costliest borough. The number of new deals jumped 94% from a year earlier to nearly 5,500. That's the biggest annual increase since April 2011. New York's about to become a hub for offshore wind energy. The state has tapped Norwegian giant Equinor to build 2 projects in the Atlantic and develop an aging Brooklyn waterfront site into a staging area for turbines. South Brooklyn Marine Terminal will be one of the largest dedicated offshore wind port facilities in the United States. Connecticut's investigating how Amazon sells and distributes digital books. That's according to the state's attorney general. This is the latest of several state and federal probes into the tech giant's business practices. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
All right, Ed, thank you. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Indonesian officials have ordered the nation's airlines to inspect their older so-called classic Boeing 737s following Saturday's crash of a passenger jet with 62 people on board.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Chesapeake Energy won court approval to exit bankruptcy.
I'm Caroline Hetko, Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the warnings about hospitals being overwhelmed as the UK records its highest number of daily virus deaths.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting the National Transportation Safety Board says electric vehicle manufacturers have left emergency responders vulnerable to battery fires.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Later today, we get earnings from BlackRock as earnings season for finance firms gets underway. And Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky has a preview.
BlackRock may have ended 2020 with a record $8.4 trillion of assets under management, according to a Bloomberg consensus. Analysts are forecasting a profit for the world's largest asset manager of $9.14 a share, on revenue of nearly $4.3 billion. Investors will be listening to BlackRock's post-earnings conference call for CEO Larry Fink's market views, potential impacts of shifting interest rates, and election results. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Larry, thanks. Shares of Nordstrom dropped more than 2% in extended trading. The retailer reported a 22% decline in holiday sales. The department store sector did have a difficult 2020. The pandemic caused many store closures and drove shoppers to websites like Amazon and Walmart. The owner of the animal supply chain store Petco raised $864 million in an IPO. The company's returning to the public market 15 years after it was taken private. Petco will continue to be controlled by its current owners, which includes CVC Capital Partners. And in China, the trade surplus hit a record high in December. Exports rose more than 18% in dollar terms from a year earlier. Demand for medical supplies and electronic goods surged in 2020. For the full year, the trade surplus was 27% higher. This is Bloomberg. The Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender Motor Trends 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Treasury yields rising with stocks after a report suggested President-elect Joe Biden plans COVID-19 relief of about $2 trillion. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 4 points. Dow futures up 85. NASDAQ futures down 32. The DAX in Germany is up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury down 7/32, yield 1.10%. Yield in the 2-year, 0.14%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 9 cents at $53 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.9% or $16.90 at $18.38 an ounce. The euro 1.2164 against the dollar. British pound 1.3659. And the yen is at 103.97. And taking a look at Bitcoin this morning, $38,081. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, 10 Republicans joined House Democrats in impeaching President Trump yesterday. Just 1 week after it was mobbed by pro-Trump rioters, lawmakers voted to impeach President Trump for the second time. That's a first in American history. In a 232-197 vote, the House reached the simple majority needed to charge the president with incitement of insurrection. Meanwhile, the president, in a statement, condemned last week's Capitol violence, saying no true supporter of mine could ever endorse political violence. He is still not taking any responsibility for the attack. In the NBA, the Nets down the Knicks 116-109. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and Greg Vallier is with us now, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Greg, I think the last time we spoke, we talked about President Trump's legacy after the Capitol riot. You said it looks pretty bad. Now, President Trump is the first and only president ever to be impeached twice. What does this mean? Where do we go from here?
Well, good morning, Nathan. I think actually there's going to be a lull of about a week, maybe filled by disclosures in the press about how this riot was coordinated. Were there members of Congress? Were there people in the Capitol Police? Was there any connection at all or coordination with the White House? But after the lull of a week or so, we then have a trial in the Senate, probably beginning right after the January 20th inauguration.
Well, if, as you say, this lull potentially leads to more evidence against members of Congress,
What could that mean for the turbulence in the nation's capital that could surround an impeachment trial going on after this president leaves office?
Yeah, it's going to be a huge distraction. And while I think Joe Biden has to say, you know, he favors, you know, taking action against Trump, I think Biden deep down in would prefer to not focus on that. He's got other things to talk about. He's got to get a COVID package. We may get that this evening from Wilmington, Delaware. But there's a lot on Biden's plate, and I think an impeachment trial could be a distraction.
And we've heard from President-elect Biden reports that he's been speaking with leaders in the Senate, trying to figure out a way that the Senate schedule could be shaped in some way that an impeachment trial and other legislative business could happen alongside each other. How could that be affected by the fact that a new Senate Majority Leader, Chuck Schumer, is about to take the reins?
Yeah, it probably could complicate things more because I think Schumer is very intent on getting a guilty verdict against Trump. I'm not sure they can walk and chew gum at the same time. They all say they can. But in order to deal with an impeachment trial and a COVID bill at the same time, I understand they're talking about one project in the morning, one project late afternoon. That'll be a challenge.
Yeah, and what are the market implications for something like that if it does turn out that the process has become more prolonged and more complicated?
I think the markets can live with this. I think the markets are looking forward, as I am, to the size of the stimulus package we get tonight. If Biden talks about something close to $2 trillion, that'll be a slight surprise for the markets. It could have bond yields going even higher. The stock market likes a big stimulus. The bond market does not.
How long do you see an impeachment trial going?
Not that long. I think they can wrap it up in early February, and that's a good thing. I'm hoping that it won't last longer than 2 or 3 weeks.
Do you expect that the president is going to mount some kind of defense after he leaves office? We haven't got much indication of that.
Well, he'll have to get a lawyer, and there's really interesting reporting this morning, Nathan, that Rudy Giuliani and Trump have had a falling out over bills that Giuliani has submitted. I would say that Giuliani is someone Trump has to be very nice to because Giuliani knows where all the bodies are buried.
We only have about 30 seconds left here, Greg, but given the way the vote went down in the House, what are your expectations as far as how it could go in the Senate?
Right now, I think there could be a dozen Republicans voting to convict, but they're probably going to need 17. I don't think they're there yet, but the key is, number one, McConnell. Number two, whether we get new disclosures in the next week or so.
Yeah, a lot to watch in just the next few days. Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments, thank you, as always, for your insights. Karen?
All right, Nathan, thank you. It's 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. It's brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
Virginia is the first state in the nation to enact a permanent rule requiring employers to take steps to protect workers from COVID-19 infection on the job. Facebook users who claim the social network violates the Fair Housing Act by allowing discriminatory targeted advertising failed to prove they suffered a concrete injury. But a federal judge in California will let them amend their proposed class action. The law firm Seyfarth Shaw severed ties with President Trump's businesses in response to the public outcry over the violent protests at the Capitol.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
And now more on our top legal story today, the impeachment of President Trump. While the process is moving forward, there are questions about whether the president will be prosecuted for his speech at last week's rally. For more on the matter, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to Shireen Sinar, a professor at Stanford Law School who studies the legal treatment of political violence.
So let's start with the broad question first. Can President Trump be prosecuted for inciting the riot?
So the standard for incitement is a high standard under criminal law.
And you know, the first thing I would say is that we should separate out the criminal prosecution question from the question of whether he incited the riot in a broader moral or political sense, or even in terms of the impeachment proceedings against him. But in terms of a criminal prosecution, because of a 1969 Supreme Court decision in a case called Brandenburg v. Ohio, the standard for prosecuting somebody for advocacy of violence is high. You have to show both that their speech was intended to produce imminent lawless action and that it was likely to produce that kind of action. So there are questions about whether what the president said in the context in which he said it could meet that standard.
So could a case be made out here?
I think there's a case to be made, in part not just from the words, but also from the context in which he made the comments that he did at the rally immediately preceding the invasion of the Capitol. And so it's not just the language, it's taking back our country, strength, and so forth, but also the fact that the crowd that he was speaking to was shouting, fight for Trump, fight for Trump, at the time. But it will also rest on facts we don't fully know right now. So, for instance, the more it can be shown that the president had knowledge that groups were planning an invasion of the Capitol in the days before the attack, or you know that there were already groups like the Proud Boys in D.C. there fighting with police on the eve of the attack, then it could strengthen the case that he intended violence to result from his remarks.
So if there is an investigation, then they'd be able to get a hold of internal documents and perhaps get people to talk about internal discussions that took place before. Those might be used to show his intent.
If it emerges from that he had a strong knowledge of the plans of certain groups that were coming to D.C. to be part of the protest, then that can help show that what he intended by, you know, asking followers to fight for him and to be strong, you know, was more than just peaceful protest.
And that's Shireen Zanar, a professor at Stanford Law School, speaking with Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by listening to the Bloomberg Law Show at 10 p.m. Eastern Time or subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast. And attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com. And S&P futures are higher, up 3 points. Dow futures up 81. NASDAQ futures lower, down 36. 10-year Treasury down 8/32. Yield 1.11%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.14%. And NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 10 cents at $53.01 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.9% or $16.80 at $18.38.20 an ounce. And our top stories are straight ahead as Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.